I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto unveiled the new Roy Halladay Field in Scarborough. The all-accessible baseball diamond commemorates the life and legacy of Toronto Blue Jays legend Roy Halladay. Halladay, who went by the nickname Doc, pitched for the Jays from 1998 to 2009 and became one of the most dominant pitchers to ever play. His stardom helped anchor the Blue Jays during the team's tumultuous era of the early 2000s. Outside of baseball, Halladay was known for his charitable works. At the unveiling of the field, his family said that the diamond is part of their ongoing commitment to give back to the communities in need. During his time with the Blue Jays, Halladay and his wife Brandy established Doc's Box, which invited children and their families from Sick Kids Hospital to watch games at the Rogers Center. Funding from the Jays Care Foundation and the City of Toronto helped make the field possible. Today, Blue Jays MLB reporter Keegan Matheson joined CGRU to discuss the opening of the field, the Halladay's commitment to helping Toronto's underserved communities, and Doc's enduring status as a Toronto icon.
Yeah, so my work day-to-day as a beat reporter is primarily writing daily stories, covering the team and covering most of the home games, a lot of the road games throughout the year and traveling with the club. But it's probably a breakdown of, let's say, 70% writing, maybe 20% TV and video, and 10% radio through the day. So there's a few different ways to tell the stories, but it is full-time just Toronto Blue Jays, covering the Blue Jays wherever they are and the stories of the day.
Toronto finally unveiled the new Roy Halladay Field in Scarborough. What were your initial thoughts and reactions?
Well, it was a really impressive field and ceremony there for the Challenger baseball athletes. And it's that's a program I really believe in and appreciate. It's throughout Canada, back home in my original home in Nova Scotia has a great program that I'm in touch with sometimes. And I really love their work. But it's a big undertaking to create an accessible field like this, not just with the land around it, but the materials and making sure it is accessible to all children of all abilities. There's a lot that goes into that. And also, I was happy to see this project finish for the people who were involved in it, because this began way back before COVID, and it's taken a lot of years and a lot of money, certainly, to get to this point. So it's, I think, a very fitting tribute to Roy Halladay, and great to see his family there as well.
Okay. So, we've cited his family's past work before, including Doc's Box and helping other charities during his time as a Jay. What are your thoughts on making the field an all-accessible one and having it in a city that is often cited as one of the most underfunded?
Yeah, certainly. It's great to see the accessible field there, because there are so many standard baseball diamonds around the city. I mean, you can always have more. I'd always love to have more baseball diamonds, but to have one that is the first accessible field in Toronto, you hope that's the beginning of more and more, because this is a massive city, not just in terms of Canada, but in terms of North America and around the world. This is a huge city. So Mayor John Tory, when he was speaking, spoke about wanting to make this the most diverse city in the world and the most accessible city. Now, this is the start. So in terms of baseball, with a long way to go, and of course, different sports, different activities will require different fields and equipment. But in terms of baseball, I think it's an encouraging start. We're seeing Jays Care Foundation, the Blue Jays, local communities investing more in these accessible fields now. And it not only creates more opportunities, but opens the game to more people with different levels of ability who would not be able to get the full experience on the baseball fields that you might see elsewhere. So this really opens a few doors.
And I guess, in your opinion, what does this field mean to, the Halladay family, Doc's legacy, and the city of Toronto?
Yeah, Brandy Halladay, his wife, was there speaking both prior to the ceremony and then during the game when the Challenger baseball athletes were playing. And she said this was just a continuation of what her and her late husband, Roy, wanted to do throughout his career. And that began with Doc's Box and Sick Kids Hospital, of course. But has continued with young people in the Toronto area and in their own communities, of course, as well, but have really continued that connection with Toronto. And that is a special thing because I think we're seeing more now, you know, in this last 10 years, we're seeing more athletes really embrace Toronto as home. But for years and years before that, it was often that strange Canadian city in certain leagues, certainly in Major League Baseball, where it's the one Canadian city, much like the NBA. So to see an athlete and his family embrace the city like that, I think is unique. Thankfully, it's becoming a little less rare, but it speaks to that relationship, and certainly for Toronto is a good moment as well, being able to diversify the facilities, you know, for young kids to use and opening it up to more kids to use.
Okay. I guess for a lot of the younger audiences who are going to listen to this, can you tell me more about Roy Halladay, I guess, first as a player?
Yeah, Roy Halladay was the all-time great Blue Jays pitcher. And unfortunately, his 10 years he spent in Toronto fell in a bit of a lull where the Blue Jays were not competing for the postseason. But he was, at times and at many times, the best pitcher in baseball and a reason to watch the Blue Jays every 5 days. Roy Halladay was a pitcher, a style of pitcher that we don't really have in baseball anymore. He was the guy who would throw complete games 6 or 7 times a year and could throw 250. I think his peak was 266 innings, which we might not see again in baseball. So a classic workhorse who was capable of being the best in the world. And you know, unfortunately, his time in Toronto wasn't when the team was competing. You know, you wish it had happened now or the early 90s when the team was really at its peak. But he was the face of the entire organization for about a decade there and then went on to some further success with the Philadelphia Phillies. And thankfully did have that opportunity to have some big moments in the playoffs. But when you talk about all-time greats with the Toronto Blue Jays, he's at the very top.
And how about Doc, the person outside of baseball? Because I know Brandy also talked about that at the ceremony where she said, you know, baseball's not just what he was, it's just what he did.
Yeah, she spoke at length about how it was, you know, how we knew him, but of course his family knew him much differently. You know, baseball was a thing that he would go to work and do. So it's, Roy Halladay played for the Blue Jays before my time covering the team, of course, but I think you certainly hear the stories of his work through the community, and you hear about what an intense competitor he was. You know, it takes a certain mindset. It's not all physical. It takes a real different mindset to be one of, if not the best in the world in a sport at a point like he was. So I think you're seeing who he was as a person carried on in projects like this. You know the name because of baseball, but at this point, what he did in the field isn't what is spoken about, you know, at events like this. It's the level that he cared about the sport and the fact he wanted the sport to be more accessible and something that can grow and be better.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting what you've mentioned about, you know, embracing Toronto, or what we've been seeing now is, like, arguably it's been a different energy, different love for the Blue Jays since the Alex Anthopoulos era, and we're really seeing it now with the Shapiro-Atkins era. In your opinion, how does Doc's legacy continue to resonate with the current club?
Yeah, he'll always be what a pitcher aspires to in Toronto, because not only was he great, but he was a homegrown pitcher drafted and developed by the Blue Jays, and they are still looking for that next superstar pitcher that they draft and develop and grows into a stud all on his own in Toronto. Now, maybe that's Alec Manoah, an all-star this year in his second year, but we've seen glimmers of that before. Maybe it was Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman back in those playoff years. Drafted and developed here, and the bar they will always be held to is Roy Halladay, which is an extremely high bar. That's a Hall of Famer. But it is who players aspire to be. Just like if you are a hitter, you are trying to be Jose Bautista. You're trying to be Carlos Delgado in Toronto. So he will always be what players are measured to. And I think that is not just in terms of talent, but the style of pitcher he was and his ability to be consistent and work through injuries and battle the way he did, I think is still something that you see young pitchers, even 19, 20, 21 years old, say that Roy Halladay was their favorite to watch.
That was Keegan Matheson, Toronto Blue Jays reporter for MLB.com. Halliday was posthumously inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2018 on the first ballot with about 85% of the vote. Halliday passed away in a piloting accident in 2017. During his career, he won the American Cy Young Award as the league's best pitcher in 2003 and the National League Cy Young with the Philadelphia Phillies in 2010. Along with 8 All-Star selections, Halliday also pitched the 20th perfect game in Major League Baseball history on May 29, 2010. His number 32 was retired by the Blue Jays in 2018, and his number 34 was retired by the Phillies in 2021. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative